Hey, welcome, Buckhead Church. So glad you are tuning in and joining us online today from wherever you may be joining us from. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And I first off just want to start by remembering all of those who have sacrificed their lives in service for our country on this Memorial Day weekend. It's an honor to pause and to remember their lives. And so, so grateful for those who have sacrificed greatly to serve this country. Today, I'm really excited because today I get to be joined for a conversation with a friend and a pastor, honestly, to me, that I look up to a whole lot. And without further ado, I'd love to welcome Pastor Vernon Gordon to the conversation. Vernon, thank you so much for saying yes to jumping on and having this conversation with me as we stream this out to our community. How are you today, man?
I'm feeling great. First of all, thank you for having me. And I love you all so much and just the amazing ministry and the lives that are being transformed. And so this is an honor and a treat for me. And I consider it a privilege and looking forward to our conversation. You're one of my favorite people in the world. So so this is a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
Man, thanks for saying that. Vernon is not brand new to our community. Just a couple months back at the start of this year, he came into town and invested in our staff here at Buckhead. He spoke at a men's breakfast. And then, Lord willing, he's going to be back this fall to invest again in our community. Really looking forward to that. But Vernon, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourself, your context, where you're a pastor at. Tell us about your family. Love for the community to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, well, I'll try to, you know, be as efficient as possible. I'll just start by saying I am, again, get the privilege of being a part of a bigger community, as you know, Matt, called ICN, and just honored to be a part of the work of building outward-facing churches. To get a chance to serve our, not only our country, but our world. And certainly, we get the chance to do that in Virginia. So we have a church we started 11 years ago called the Life Church. We are one church in several locations. I'm married to an amazing wife who was my high school sweetheart, Ashley. We met at 16 years old. Wow. I swept her off her feet. and we have two beautiful children, Madison and Jackson, and they are the joy of our life. And they are sixth grader and a fourth grader. So we are gearing up for a summer of many, many sports in many, many different directions, as I'm sure many parents are. And in addition to that, just speaking of Memorial Day weekend, I also just think it's appropriate to say so grateful for those who served in my family. My father was a Marine. Both of my grandfathers, one was in the Army, one was in the Navy, and countless others in my family. So I come from a family who certainly I honor today, their legacy and all that they've done to protect our freedom. So happy Memorial Day to all.
That's incredible. Vernon, I love your family. You have an amazing family. I haven't met your kids, but have had a little time to interact with Ashley and just as she's been in town. And man, I love the church that you're leading. It's incredible to see what God's doing from afar. And so again, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule to join us. Vernon, we're just going to dive right into it. And my hope and prayer is that this conversation will be encouraging, that it'll be helpful for our community. It'll be challenging maybe in some ways to this community. And there's this idea, and I before we logged onto this call, I kind of said this to you, but it's ironic because we're obviously streaming online today. We are not meeting in person. This is one of two Sundays throughout the course of the year that we don't meet in person. And so we kind of give volunteers a break over Memorial Day weekend, and then we come back strong as we launch into the summer months. But with all that being said, something I've been thinking a lot about is you can stream content online. I think online, on a podcast or listening to something in your car, that is a great way to receive content. You can stream content, but you cannot stream community. That's something I'm learning. Yeah. You can connect with other people digitally, but to really develop authentic, real relationships, you can't stream that. That's something that you have to be willing to be face-to-face with people, to do life alongside other people. And that's one of the things I love the most about the church. We've said this before, but the church is not a building. The church is not an address. The church is a body. It's people. And One of the things I love about this church is I love coming together. That's why I think the gathering of the church is so important, because we come together, and when we're together physically, we're able to encourage one another, to hold one another up. So just talk to me a little bit about that. Like in your context, like what's your experience been when it comes to just the gathering of the church, and why it's so important for us to gather together physically, and how authentic community kind of gets stirred up from there?
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's something very unique that you only get when you're in the environment where relationships can be birthed. You can consume content through a screen, but man, growing in relationship, I think the best relationships in most of our lives, I like to tell people, don't start from a TV, but they actually start from a table. Mm-hmm. Some of our fondest memories, if you recall, right? Most people in their life are like, man, you remember that night we stayed up, or you remember that time we got together over a meal. And I don't think it's by accident that Jesus does a considerable amount of his public ministry around meals. And I think what he's modeling for us is this invitation that there's something that happens at the table that is hard to replicate somewhere else. So I think it's super important, and certainly I recognize that they're not tables at the church, but I think the idea of what happens when you get in a room with people, when you get around others, and you get a chance to experience their shared humanity, there's something about it that's super special. I also think that it's vitally important, because not only do you find like-mindedness, right, in community, I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, friendship is birthed at the moment that two people say, you too. You know, it's like those you two moments,
yep,
happen when you're in a small group, or when you're walking in a building and somebody has on a jersey from a shared team, and you're like, you too, you know, and all of these different things show up that you say, man, there's a shared humanity, there's a shared experience that we get together, and that births something greater. And I often tell people, I think every person needs in their life a community of people that they have three layers of relationship with: transparency, vulnerability, and accountability. I think you need transparency, because it's like, what do I let people see, right? Somebody has to actually see me. They can't see you through the screen, right? They can't see if you look heartbroken today, or if you're having a rough week. And so what do I let people see? But then they need vulnerability. What do I let people feel, right? Like every now and then we all go through seasons where it's like, man, I'm navigating some feelings. I'm navigating some emotions. I'm navigating some of the weight of life that will hit all of us at some point or another. And who's in my life that can feel that with me? And then accountability is, what do I let people hold, right? That we're not intended to go through this life and hold all the weight of it, or the challenges of it, or as scripture would say, the storms of it alone, that God actually desires that we invite people into that to help us hold it. I think that's the power of the church. I think that's the beauty of the church, that we're not looking for a bunch of perfect people. It's a bunch of imperfect people that found a perfect God, but they say, hey, together we share in holding each other up. And I think there's the book of Galatians where they say, Galatians, where it talks about bearing with each other's burdens. Like, you know, we hold each other up. I often, when I think about this, I think about a moment that happened when I was in high school. I used to have a basketball hoop in my yard, and I was one of the only people who had a basketball hoop in my neighborhood. And I remember that everybody would come play basketball at the house. And one guy named Sterling would come play basketball at the house. And Sterling was 6'3". He was about 315 pounds. He was going to Virginia Tech to play D1 football. And I was not. And I will never forget. He decided one day playing basketball in the neighborhood that he was going to take my little brother's bike. He looked at it in the garage. He said, I want that bike. Thought he was going to take my little brother's bike. And so he went to go grab the bike, and I did what any great big brother does. I went and told my dad, you know, because he's a Marine, right? I said, hey, man, you need to come out here, and you need to come get Sterling. And he said, no, you go out and you go stick up for your brother, and you go stand up for him. And so I went out, and man, I'm not encouraging anybody to do this, and I'm not saying this is appropriate behavior, but I was about 14, 15 years old, and I thought it was a Friday moment. If you know Debo and Ice Cube, I said, man, I'm going to just swing first, and maybe I stand a chance. And when I woke up the next day, I recognized that I had lost that fight. But when I went to school, I saw people clapping, and I said, I don't think they heard what happened yesterday. And one guy pulled me to the side. He said, man, hey, what you don't know is that you stood up to Sterling, and because you stood up, other people stood up. And what you don't recognize is that you actually created a community that said, hey, there's a better way for us to live and a better way for us to treat each other. And I think that's what community does. It says, hey, nobody's fighting alone, that nobody's navigating this pain alone. And I think that's if good. We all just show up, we can also stand up for one another. And that's part of the beauty of what it means to be in community.
No, I love that, Vernon. That's really, really good. I love that story. I feel the same way, where a lot of the power is, man, there's going to be weeks where, especially here at Buckhead, it can feel inconvenient to get to the building.
Yep.
And there's traffic, yep. And there's parking garages, and there's escalators and elevators. And sometimes the escalators are down and they're not working for an extended period of time. And so it can seem inconvenient to be in the room, to get into the building. But man, the power of saying, man, I'm going to lean into the discipline of showing up, is that when you show up, you give God and the Holy Spirit an opportunity to show you an opportunity where you can potentially hold someone else up. This past Sunday, so I guess at this point, a couple Sundays ago, we did acoustic worship, and so it was just, you could hear the voices more. The people around you who were singing, typically you can't really hear their voices that well, but on this particular Sunday, you could hear the people around you singing the lyrics to the songs. And I just thought, this is beautiful, because there's someone in the room right now who they need to hear their brother or their sister singing out that Christ is their firm foundation. Because right now, they're not sure that they believe it. Or they're not sure that they have the strength to sing it. But them hearing the person sitting next to them or behind them singing these words is doing something in their hearts and in their minds and in their souls. And so I just think there's so much power in that. And again, I'm so grateful for the power of technology. And it gives you the ability to for people to tune in wherever they might be, or if they're unable to be in the room, that they can still join in. And God can certainly, the Holy Spirit of God is not limited. He can work through a screen. But man, you're right. I just don't think it's a great substitute for community.
No, and I think one of the things that we see even in our world today is, I think Brené Brown did this research and talked about one of the great epidemics of our day and age is the threat of loneliness. She said one of the greatest threats to our sociology is loneliness. And I think we live in a world where it is easier to become isolated than it is to become integrated. It is easier to carry things alone than it is to carry them with others. But also, I think you said something so powerful. I think that while certainly the presence of God meets us any and everywhere, there is something unique about corporate worship. I think we see it all throughout scripture, where when we get into the presence of God with other people, there is a certain move of God, a certain warfare, spiritual warfare. There's a certain invitation, I think, of God that we experience when we do things collectively. And I just believe that not only does it show God that we desire to move beyond our preferences into his presence, but I also think what it does is it invites others to see our public witness. I think one of the great dangers that I'm seeing in even modern Christianity is I think we can be very comfortable being private Christians. But I think part of what corporate worship does is invites us into public witness. Hey, I am not going to be louder for my team in my living room than I am for my God in my church.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's an invitation for us to also put our faith on display, not in a performance, but in a way that says, hey, God, I'm available and I want to meet with you. I came to meet with you, but also meet with the community of God, which also stirs my faith. You know, the Bible talks about stirring each other to good works. I think that only happens when we get in the room with others. And I think that's super powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So two local church pastors. And one of the things we love clearly most about the church is the church. It's the community. It's the people. Yep. And one of my hopes and my prayers for our church would be that people would experience the authentic life-giving power of being surrounded by others in the context of community, in the gathering of the local church. Vernon, we, as I said, this kind of launches us into the summer months. And one thing I know about summer, especially if you have kids, but even if you do not, is that summer will kind of bring about new rhythms, but it also can interrupt current rhythms. So if you have kids, obviously they're not in school. So that's a big interruption. And we all know what that's like. Vernon, I know you have kids as well. And so you know what we know what that's like for like the 15th time of the day to be asked, like, I'm bored. What are we doing? And it's like, I'm not your entertainment committee, you know? But even if you don't, you're traveling more. There's more things going on. It's the weather's nice. And one of the things I'd love to talk about, maybe we can just share some ways that personally that you've found effective in this, is that, man, I hope for our community that we don't just get through the summer or have the mindset that, man, I'm just going to get through these summer months. My hope is that we grow through this summer. That individually, as a community, as a church, that we don't just get through May, June, and July and into August, but that we grow through this summer and we see God do new and fresh things in and through our lives this summer. And so what are some ways that you kind of stay in rhythm with God when the rhythms of your life seem to get interrupted?
Yeah, well, that's a phenomenal thought because, I mean, I'm with you, right? I'm on the parent side of, again, my son is in swim, my daughter in cheer. And I mean, we are all over the place, camps and such. So definitely feel that personally as well. I think, you know, a few things that I've done and my wife and I have done that have been super effective. And I love this word that you chose, rhythms, because it's a huge passion point for us. We often say balance is really a difficult feat to accomplish, but life does work in rhythms. And I think there's a couple of things to look at. And I am a pastor. So I'll say one scripture that kind of sets the tone for this for us is John 15. And when you read it, you know, he talks about, you know, the short version is he who abides in me bears much fruit, but he who bears fruit, he prunes. And so I think what we automatically see is this rhythm of God, right? Like this idea that there are going to be seasons of fruitfulness and going and moving and doing, and that God wants to prune us from some of those sometimes. He wants to pull us back. He wants to take us to a place of abiding. And I think certainly that's an invitation to abide with him in that text. But I think there also could be some justification for abiding with family and abiding with self and reflection. And I think that kind of pendulum. And then he wants us to bear fruit. And so there's going to come a fall and there's going to come another season. And so for us, we've always tried to ask ourselves, hey, how do we define where the pendulum is swinging? What is the rhythm that is right for the season? So for me, there's a few things I think about. Number one is how do I set my, and the practical thing I always say is my shutting down my windows at night. So how do I end my day and how do I start my day? And if I can define that before the day, I'm winning, right? You know, otherwise I'm reacting. And I think that's paid huge dividends. One, to my spiritual formation, because there are all types of reasons to stay up later. There's all types of reasons to, not wake up in the morning and make devotion my first focus. But by deciding like, hey, I'm going to kind of try to go to sleep around this time, wake up around this time, I've given myself some margin to be able to do devotion, do prayer, work out, still take care of my body, even though I'm taking food off the grill. I tell people summer is breaking even for me. You know, it's like, hey, if I'm gonna eat ribs and some steak and some hamburgers, you know, at least I'm gonna still hit the gym in the morning. I'm gonna let the cardio earn the carbs. But you got that going on. So that's been a huge part. I also think that for me, what has been really helpful, and this has been a new trait that I started the last couple of years, is for spiritual formation, how do I try to see the glory of God or the goodness of God in ways that I'm not usually slow enough to notice? Because I find that, okay, if the kids are in the house and if we take a walk, that walk doesn't need to just be practical and physical, but it can also be spiritual, right? I can invite us to adorn the beauty of God and look at what he's created and man, see the wind blowing and try to take in that part of prayer. You know, I always say prayer is not just intercession and supplication, which is asking for things and thanksgiving and repentance, but it's also adoration. And man, what better time when the weather is good than to adore the creation of God? And so that's been a huge part of spiritual formation for me over the last couple of summers. And then lastly, you know, I think a big rhythm thing has been not forsaking. We just talked about it, right? but like, what does it mean to continue to be formed by community? So does that look like being in the church and not forsaking the commitment of gathering together? Sure. It also looks like, how am I expanding that community to my home, to my debt, to my living room, to the football field, right? I my son is in football practice and we're there 5 days a week. Hey, how's my witness extending here? And how do I see that as a part of the rhythm of the season as well? So again, that was just a few ways in which we've started to really try to think about how our rhythms show up even in the summer.
No, that's great. I think about it this way too. Recently, my family was on just a short trip a couple nights away. And there was a couple days, or I guess parts of the day, where we were going to split up. And it was like, hey, like, my wife's going to go this way with the girls. I'm going to go this way with my son. We're going to go do this. And then they're going to do this. And we basically, what we said was, hey, that's great. You go there, we'll go there. We'll meet back here at this time. Yep. And I even think about that in terms of the summer. Hey, you're going to go different ways. You're going to have different rhythms. Every week is not going to look the same. But if you set in motion some home bases of, hey, at this time, I'm going to meet here, it kind of makes sure that at the end of it, at the end of the day, you're going to come back and you're going to stay in line of the direction you're trying to go. And so I think what you said is a great encouragement as well. Is hey, maybe that's stay connected to community, even though your small group might be breaking for the summer months. Stay connected in the group text, like hold one another accountable every week, every Thursday at noon. Hey, how's everyone doing? What are you learning from God right now in this season? You know, or I'm going to be at church on these Sundays when we're in town, whatever that might look like. I think just to predetermine, again, to be proactive, not reactive, to predetermine, these are some home bases. This is how I'm going to ensure that I'm headed in the direction that I want to be going. Otherwise, it's easy just to kind of drift and you don't even realize you're drifting. And then again, the fall rolls around and it's like, oh man, like I've really fallen out of some good rhythms. And so that's probably one of my second hopes for the community in prayer, is that we would stay connected and that we would grow through the summer, not just go through the summer and get through it. And so I'm hopeful for that. Well, Vernon, as we start around the corner, what's encouraging you right now in your church, in your context? And then if you were to encourage the people in our church, what's maybe something that would come to mind, words that you'd want us to hold on to in this season?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a huge passion for me in this season of my life has been this reflection on a word that I think we know and we say, but I don't know if we fully unmask in our life, and that's fear. I recently released a book at the end of last year called Life Beyond Fear. And for those who don't know my personal testimony, just to give you a quick synopsis, kind of grew up with fear always in the passenger seat of my life. I was a former cancer patient, diagnosed with 2 tumors, 14 surgeries, 3 years of chemotherapy. They told me I would die 3 times. I had surgery almost every year from 10 to 22 years old. And then life fast forwarded and have many more surgeries. And a couple of years ago, I had to have an unexpected, significant operation. And I remember sitting there in recovery, just like asking God, like, man, what happened and where are you and what's happening? And all of these fears emerged and it drove me to scripture. And I found that the most repeated command by God in the Bible was fear not. Like over and over again, God is saying to all of us, fear not. And what's so interesting about that is everything in our culture creates fear or more fear or anxiety or insecurity or stress. The data tells us that by June, 90% of people have already quit on the goals that they set at the beginning of the year. Many of them trace back to the source of some fear in some way, shape, or form. And so what I would encourage anybody just, you know, who's just here today and going into the second half of your year is make up in your mind two things. Number one, that God has not created you, as Paul told Timothy, with the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And so much of fear, I think we think is the absence of faith. But I think all throughout scripture, we see that faith is not the absence of fear. It's the intersection where we just choose to trust God more than we trust our feelings, more than we trust our preferences. We say, no, God, I trust who you created me to be. But also even circling the bend on this community piece, I think it's really important that we recognize, and I wrote about this, that becoming brave is a personal project, but staying brave is a group project. And you need people who stand with you, who pray for you, who see you, who support you, I always love to look at David. And when you look at David, man, his journey as a leader starts with a slingshot, but it's sustained by community. He has a confidant in Jonathan. He has champions in the 30 mighty men. He has Samuel believe in him and as a catalyst to his future. And he even has Nathan come along a little later and give him wisdom. And my point is simply this, man, don't lose the grip on those who are going to help you continue to conquer every giant in your life and become all that God has called you to be. You're built for more. God created you with purpose and potential. And we decide that we're not going to let fear be the end of our story, but the beginning of a beautiful faith journey.
I love that. That's so good. It sounds like you, if you hadn't written a book on it, I probably would have said, hey, you should write a book on this.
You should write a book on it.
But it is a great book, Vernon. And I love that. I love, again, coming back to the community. I love the community that God is building at Buckhead. So many different people. Different types of people from all different walks of life at all different points in their faith journey. But it's amazing when we come together, the ways that we can encourage one another. And I've heard it said before, you need a group of people around you that you're going to have to fight through to make poor decisions. You need a group of people around you who are going to hold you up, who are going to build you up. And I just think there's so much power in that. And so I know for me in my life, more often than not, the primary way that I hear the voice of God in my life is through the voices of other people around me, where it's like, it's crazy when you're praying about something or seeking out wisdom in an area of your life. And then all of a sudden, you know, you show up and people around you that love you, that care for you, hey, have you thought about this? And then another person says it and third person says it. And before too long, if you're paying attention, you're like, God, okay, I get it. You're speaking to me through the people around me. And there's so much power in that. So, well, Vernon, I would love to close us in prayer. Thank you again for taking some time to join us today. And Buckhead Church, thank you for tuning in wherever you might be tuning in from this morning. Really, really grateful that you'd spend part of your Memorial Day weekend with us. I want to let you know that next weekend we'll be kicking off a brand new series with Joel Thomas that you won't want to miss. It's going to be awesome. But before we wrap up, I'd love to pray for us. God, we just thank you so much for the gift of community. Lord, you designed all of us to grow with other people. Lord, you model that for us as Jesus lived here on this earth. Even Jesus found a group of people to do life alongside. And so, God, I pray that you'd give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. I pray that you would continue to stir up something beautiful in this community at Buckhead and at the Life Church. The community that Vernon is leading. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be a part of the local church. God, thank you for initiating and launching the movement that is the church. And God, I just pray that throughout this summer, Lord, you would help us not just go through these months, but that we would grow through these months and that we would see you in new and fresh ways, Lord, and that our faith would grow and that we would grow more and more into the people that you see us becoming, Lord. You are more concerned with who we're becoming than where we've been. And so, God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and in advance for what you're going to do. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.